Hey, and welcome to Let's Talk CPF, a podcast where we bring conversations on CPF to your ears. Brought to you by the CPF Board, this podcast will answer common questions, offer tips, and feature interviews with industry experts on CPF and financial planning. Thanks for listening, and let's get straight into today's episode.
Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk CPF. I'm Hari from the CPF Board. After 2 years of adapting to the work-from-home lifestyle, we have gradually been asked to head back to the office. For the luckier ones, they follow a hybrid arrangement such as needing to go back to the office on a certain number of days and working from home for the rest of the week. However, as compared to before the pandemic, we see a surge in some companies becoming more remote. In the previous episode, we had Joshua, an entrepreneur, investor, and an avid traveler, share money-saving tips while planning for your next vacation. We have him back here again today to share about his experience working remotely while traveling as a digital nomad. So Joshua, you mentioned that you were an accidental entrepreneur. Tell me more about yourself and your businesses.
So I'm a filmmaker by training, an accidental entrepreneur, investor, and also an avid traveler. I started my journey very much like most Singaporeans, you know, growing up in Singapore, going to school, trying to get good grades. And I would say that along the way, I decided that my first deviation from the standard journey was dropping out of school. So going to study filmmaking at the age of 17 with nothing more than a PSLE certificate, that kind of came along with working freelance and contributed to an accumulation of some equipment for filmmaking that I started my first company to rent out. And that company, again, why it's an accidental one was because along the way, some of the friends and associates of mine also realized that they had a lot of equipment sitting around and collecting dust when they weren't using it. And we started a platform to allow people to rent this equipment to each other. So it's kind of like an Airbnb for the media and events industry. Along the way, I started another company which was called Startup Media. So that was because I had no formal background in business or in starting businesses per se. And I wanted to learn more about this field. So rather than going for a university degree or paying for courses or consultants or advisors, if I could involve the expertise that I have in media with the subject matter that I was interested to learn, that was like getting paid to go to school, right? I spend more of my time working with startups in the ecosystem, help them with their marketing, with their videos, photographs, pitching to investors and so on and so forth. These companies did quite well for themselves and we eventually needed to hire people. So that's how I started my third company, which was Crossworks in Myanmar. And why I did that was because I couldn't really find people that were good enough and was willing to stay. The turnover rate was very high and unemployment rate in Singapore is very low. So going with freelancers, they may choose to leave after a certain period of time because they have a better opportunity or because they want to do something else with their time. And I eventually thought I needed to build a dedicated team that was offshore, but only working for me. So that, again, drew some interest from some of my other associates and friends who saw what I was doing, and then they said, you know, can I put some people in your office? And then we accidentally, again, became more of a hiring as a service type of platform. So today, they act more like an extension of the HR teams for more than 24 companies to help them to sort of find remote employees and manage them to provide a conducive environment for these remote workers to contribute to the Singapore companies and reduce the cost of the local companies as well.
So previously you mentioned that you're also a principal or investor at a venture capital fund. What is venture capital?
So venture capital basically means we try and take a small stake in a company that we hope will grow into a very large return. But of course, this being risk capital, the chances of failure are also very high. And basically, we are looking for what could really change the world in the next 10 or 20 years, rather than how we can make a quick flip or how we can get a stable yield like real estate or bonds or things like foreign exchange investments.
Ah, interesting. From what you've mentioned so far, you've been keeping very, very busy. So I'm very curious, apart from managing your businesses when you were overseas, how did you manage to work remotely in that job while you were traveling?
I think part of it comes to this being something I've been doing even before the pandemic. Having companies both in Singapore and Myanmar, when I was in Singapore, I would have to be working remotely for the Myanmar company. And when I was in Myanmar, I have to be working remotely with the Singapore team to manage these two companies. So I was already quite used to the idea of different time zones, different tools that I could use online. And that adjustment wasn't one that I had to make. Obviously, it was to a much larger scale, given that I was crossing maybe more than 10, 20 time zones eventually throughout that whole 30 months duration. But the fundamental thing was to stay flexible, right? To make sure that I organize the travels around the work, knowing that there's some priorities that I have to make. If there are certain high priority meetings, important schedules that I need to keep, then other things have to be planned around that. Prioritizing those affairs and organizing my personal plans around that is the starting principle. And then, of course, making sure that in every of these endeavors, all of the time that I allocate to each task is also efficiently spent. So I think being on the road also gives you a bit of clarity in terms of how you want to spend your time. Because if you are doing things just for the sake of doing it, and you know that you could rather be spending it looking at beautiful scenery or exploring a new city, then you will probably not do the things that are not worth doing, right? Because you would just want to do the things which are the highest impact and most value for your time. That kind of also helps add a perspective to me in terms of the work that I'm doing. Traveling and working actually reinforces what's important to you.
Ah, that's an interesting take on how working while traveling gives you clarity and kind of forces you to prioritize what's really important. So in the eyes of some, right, people may consider you as a YOLO person, but that's certainly not true hearing from your calculated thought process at every step of the trip. You know, you're far from YOLO. So what were some of the challenges you faced while traveling and working, and how do you deal with the time zone differences?
Time zone-wise, I think I didn't have that much of a challenge given that we were interfacing a lot with our counterparts in Europe and US. So actually being in Singapore would mean that we had to stay up really late or wake up really early for some of the US calls. I was quite thankful to have spent a lot of time in the Central Eastern European time zone where it's like sitting nicely in between both Asia and US. In terms of practical challenges, I think the ability to find consistent and strong internet connection or Wi-Fi connection was definitely a pressing issue given that a lot of these places I had never been before. And even if they had advertised on their website or in the booking platforms that Wi-Fi was available, you always had to go down to the location and see on that day whether it was available there and then, or something happened, you know, the router was out or there's a local outage of the substation and electricity wasn't there. So there were times where I had to actually cancel bookings upon arrival because they didn't have the facilities that they stated in the website. And it was very important for me to have these facilities. And then other times I had to rely on a hotspot, especially when I was cycling up from South Africa to Zimbabwe and living in tents. And that was another unexpected experience because I was supposed to be taking a bus there, but the bus was cancelled because of COVID. And then the trains had a few hundred kilometers of power line stolen by a mafia. So I had no other choice but to cycle up. And along the way, a lot of these guest houses were not open and I had to stay in a tent. So in those trips, of course, I had to work with my hotspot and buy a lot of data. But knowing that it would be a temporary thing and it was kind of a good adventure for me as well, I just did it anyway. Another challenge would definitely be looking for reliable transport. Sometimes we are used to things coming on time and turning up according to schedule in Singapore. But I faced a situation in Egypt where the bus came 5 hours late. And so I was stranded at a bus stop on arrival at 2 a.m. with no places that are open. Thankfully, I didn't have to do work as that was a weekend. But you know, if that had been a work day and I had to do a meeting, then probably I had to check myself into a really expensive accommodation which had a 24/7 reception instead of the regular hostels that I would frequent. But these are prices that you have to pay sometimes.
Remote working is seen as something that's attractive these days. What would you recommend to someone who's looking to land a job that allows them to work remotely as well?
I think I can only speak for myself from my experience. The easiest way to find a remote job is to be your own boss. Because if you are the business owner or the founder of the company, obviously you set the culture and you set the rules. Even if you work for a company that today might allow you to work remotely or semi-remotely, tomorrow the restrictions could be different. Next year, they could require you to come back to the office. But then, of course, there are companies that have today a remote-first mindset and culture whereby they are open to having you work from anywhere as long as you fulfill your KPI or you're in a role that can be done remotely anywhere. So looking out for those forward-looking environments and roles that can be done in such a fashion is definitely extremely important for someone who wants to travel and work at the same time. I would say that typical telltale signs of such companies are smaller in scale, you know, with maybe less than 10 years of existence. But these are more like symptoms, right? there could be some old companies which are very forward-looking and, you know, would like to embrace change and take into account the new developments or working arrangements that could benefit them as an organization. But finding a job is also as much about the individual, right? How the individual is ready to work in such an environment which is less structured, less supervised, having less oversight and more results-oriented rather than process-oriented. So sitting in an office from 9 to 5 every day and just going through the motion, even though there's no work, I'm sure there's a lot of people who can relate to that. But working remotely is like you're on the clock whenever there's work. At least for me, because I don't see such a clear line between like work and life. I work when there's work, and if there's no work, then what's the point of being at my screen pretending to work and wasting time? It's a very different lifestyle. I think the individual has to also be ready for it as much as the company needs to be ready for it.
So how has being on the road changed the way you view the future of work and travel?
I think it has reinforced my belief that remote working is here to stay and it's a growing trend. A lot of the jobs that we want to do these days has been taken over by robots and AI, and that trend is only going to continue to increase. People who want to be ahead of that curve, I think we need to learn how to use this AI, how to use these robots, how to become one with technology and use it as an application rather than be the robots of the people doing the repetitive tasks. If not, we will soon find ourselves be out of job. That being said, I think a lot of the essential workforce laborers and frontline staff, these are still going to be necessary to be done in person for some time to come. That really sort of revealed to me that we need to be on the right side of change to help more people to see that technology is a huge disruptor and is going to be here to stay. And how the ones who are sort of not able to harness all of this disruptive technology power or be a part of that remote workforce can make meaningful contributions.
I like what you said about being on the right side of change. With the introduction of more digital technologies, the remote work culture is definitely catching on. While there are perks being a digital nomad, it also presents its own challenges, such as keeping up with changing restrictions in different countries and getting a stable internet connection to get work done. Being disciplined to prioritize important work while being flexible is also very important. Joshua, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your experiences on how you manage working remotely while traveling. If you have not already done so, check out the previous podcast for money-saving tips while planning for your vacation. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Hari and you're listening to Let's Talk CPF.
Before you go, we would love to hear from you. Email us with your questions or comments at podcast@cpf.gov.sg so we can create better content for you. You can also leave us a review on the platform you're listening from to help others learn about our podcast. For the latest news, visit cpf.gov.sg/podcast or follow our social media pages. Thank you once again. Until the next time, let's talk CPF.